Let's start by introducing the Parsha for a second. Okay, what happens in Parsha Shmini? Vayihi bayom ha-shmini. It was on the eighth day. The end of Parsha Sav, Moshe Rabbeinu was very busy inaugurating the Mishkan. So for 7 days, Boker Tov Yoni. For 7 days, Moshe Rabbeinu was basically serving as Kohen, but Vayihi bayom ha-shmini, Kara Moshe la'Aron u'Levanov, Lizikne Yisrael. Starting on the eighth day, Moshe Rabbeinu would be handing over the responsibility of the kahuna to Aaron and his sons. He would no longer go through this seven-day process of building the Mishkan and taking it apart and building it and taking it apart and doing the entire avoda. Now Aaron and his sons were going to take over. And there's several karbanos that are being brought at the beginning of the Parsha. Vayomer al Aaron, kach lecha egel, ben bakar lechatas. Of course, the egel, as Maram is to the cheta egel, which is why Aaron is a little bit nervous. In Pasuk Zayin, Moshe has to say to Aaron, "Krav el mizbeach, come close to the mizbeach." Rashi says Aaron was a little bit embarrassed. He was a little bit ashamed to approach because he felt unworthy after his possible involvement in the egel to bring an egel even as a kapara. And Moshe says, "Don't be ashamed. This is what you were chosen for." And of course, then a little bit later, we have the tragic ptira, the sudden and painful and tragic death of Aaron's sons, Nadav and Avihu. And then after Nadav and Avihu die, Moshe says to his cousins, his first cousins, Mishael and Elzaphan, take out the bodies. And then they have to figure out what to do with the karbanos after the death of another mourning. So they have to figure out. It's a very strange state that they find themselves in. On the one hand, the simcha of the inauguration of the Mishkan. On the other hand, Mamish sitting Shiva, being in the status, the state of an Onin and Avelus, and figuring out what to do with the Karbanos. Okay, so I want to focus on one Pasuk. If you have a Chumash, it's Perek Yud Pasuk Tes Zayin, and it's the Pasuk where Moshe tries to figure out what happened with the Seir HaChatas. Right? Let me read you the Pasuk. Again, if you could pull it up and take a look at the Pasuk, it'll be more meaningful. It's Perek Yud Pasuk Tes Zayin. Ve'si'ir hachatas darosh darash Moshe v'hinei soraf. Moshe inquired greatly to find out what happened to the sayer, the carbon sayer, which part of it is supposed to be the sayer chatas, the chatas, which is partially supposed to be eaten, and he finds out v'hinei soraf. It was burnt. The whole thing was burnt. So Moshe turns to the two sons. Again, Nadav and Avihu were no longer, but he turns to Aaron's other two remaining sons, Elazar and Yisamar, and he's all upset. Moshe is angry. Why didn't you eat from the carbon chatas? Who told you to burn the whole carbon chatas? And the response, of course, is how could we eat at a time like this? Right? We're in a state of mourning. So we thought this was the right thing to do. We thought the proper thing to do was not to eat at a time. Aaron responds to Moshe and Pasuk Yutes. Vayedaber Aaron el Moshe, Hein hayom ekrivu es chatasim ves olasim lefnei Hashem. Vatekrena osika eila. Look what happened to me. Right? We had a terrible tragedy. Vachalti chatas hayom hayitav ve'enei Hashem. If I were to eat the carbon chatas at a time like this, would it be good in the eyes of Hashem? He's saying it rhetorically. Vayishma Moshe, vayitav ve'enav, and Moshe hears Aaron's taina, and he says, you know what, Aaron, you're saying good. It happens to be the Or Gedaliah, our Rebbe of Gedaliah Shor, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, likes to talk about how this is really, in a certain sense, the Shoresh of Torah Shabbat Peh. This conversation, the first really like base medrash interaction, machlokes, on the page of the Torah, where Moshe says a svara like this, and Aaron says a svara like that, and Moshe says, oh, you're saying good, right? Vayitav be'enav is really the Shoresh of Torah Shabbat Peh. And it makes a lot of sense that Aaron, who represents the world of the Kohanim, the world of Hod, Moshe is Netzach, Aaron is Hod. Moshe, so to speak, is Torah Shebichsav. That makes a lot of sense to us. It's called Torah Moshe. And Aaron is the world of Torah Shebaal Peh, the world of Hanukkah, which is the Yom Tov of Torah Shebaal Peh, etc. But you see, Aaron here is outsmarting, so to speak, or coming up with a better svara. Maybe it's a nicer way to say it. That Moshe didn't see initially, and Moshe in the end is maskim to Aaron Svar. Okay, but let's focus on that pasuk Tazayin, when Moshe is Darosh Darash Moshe, that Moshe inquired greatly to find out what happened to the Sa'ir Achatas. And we'll learn several lessons from the Degel Machane Ephraim. Now, before we get to this week's Parsha, just one last point. And that is, if you remember, back in Parsha's Bereishis, it would be Chashev if you remembered. I hardly remembered myself. But the Degel Machane Ephraim has actually one of his famous explanations on the Rosh Darash Moshe, not here in Parsha Shmini, where the Pasuk appears, but back in Bereishis. If you remember, back in Bereishis, he told us that Chazal tell us that the words Darosh Darash represent the midway point of the Torah. And the question is, so what? Right? Well, what does that mean? So if you remember, he told us back in Bereishis, and again, if you have the Sefer, you can look back on the Pasuk, that Sefer told us Adam, he told us back in Bereishis that the Vart is, the idea of Darosh Darash being the midway point of the letters of the Torah, is to remind us that no matter how much Darosh, Darash, a person has to continue to learn. A person could have learned a lot, and a lot, and a lot, and a lot, but no matter how much a person darshaned, a person always has an obligation to try to delve more deeply. And it's a very good lesson for us to chazer as we focus on these days of Sfiras Omer. Because Pesach, we get this burst of a matana of ore from a Kaddish Baruch Hu at the Seder. But Sfiras Omer is where we darshan it up, where we go step by step, right? We go through Chesed, and then we go through Gvura, and then we go through Teferis. We go through, piece by piece, each of the Sviros and each of their manifestations, and we try to deepen and enrich our understanding of every step of it. Okay, so the most simple and probably most Yesodistic Vart on this Pasuk is actually in the Degel Machane Ephraim back in Bereishis, and again, it's a chizik to us. No matter how much a person learns, there's always so much more to learn. We should always see ourselves as not anywhere, beyond the midway point of our experience with Torah. Okay, but here in our parsha, he has quite a few explanations. Again, these are really hard pieces in this week's parsha, but we'll do this pasuk. We'll focus on this one pasuk. Okay, who's got the page? Who could tell us what page it's on? Ve'esir hachatas darosh darash Moshe. What page? Okay, it starts, the first piece is Yesh lefarish bezeh bederech remez ki isa bekisvei Arizal. Chaver, you see it? Thumbs up if you see it. On the pasuk, v'seir hachataz darosh darash Moshe v'hinei soraf. Yesh lefarish bezeh bederech remez ki isa bekisvei Arizal. Yoni, you got it or no? I see you're flipping. You'll find it? I don't want to leave you behind. He's honest. He keeps his screen on even as he's looking for the page. That's good.
I'll find it.
Okay. Ki isa bekisvei ha'arizal. It's about the midway point of his pieces. Ki isa bekisvei ha'arizal we find in the writings of the Arizal. And by the way, a lot of the pieces in this week's Parsha are based on Tikkuni Zohar and Kisvei Ari. I guess our Rebbe was, in a lofty place after Pesach. Not that he's not always, but especially this week's Parsha. Okay, so what do we learn? It says the Arizal. Ki belimud halacha bechof dalid kishute hakala al yedei shemakshin umafarkin. When a person studies halacha, when a person asks questions and is able to resolve them, and a person goes through the analytical process of questioning and answering, again, like Moshe and Aaron themselves are going through in this conversation, when we break down a sugya, when we break down a halacha, when we start off with three opinions, then we narrow it down to two opinions, then we say halacha lemaisa, we paskin like this opinion, and even though we have this consideration and that consideration, the give and take, so to speak, of the halachic process, through breaking down a sugya, through makshin umafarkin, questioning and answering, v'zeh mishabrin haklipos. The Arizal writes that it's a very powerful process in breaking klipa, in breaking husks, in shattering Yetzer Hara, in breaking the shells that surround us and stop us from being close to Hashem. Through breaking apart, a sugya coming to the emes is part of the refinement of one's soul and coming to the truth of one's inner being. So perhaps the idea of breaking through klipa, coming down to a true point of inner self, is hinted to in our pasuk. The eis seir. Now what is seir? Seir, of course, means a he-goat, male goat. But on a deeper level, hainu, mi lishon, it's from the lashon of, seirim yirakdu sham. What does that mean? We know that Sa'ir is associated with Esav. Sa'ir is associated with Klipa, right? Yes, we have Tusim on Yom HaKippurim, right? But the Sa'ir that we think of as really being Sa'ir of negativity is the Sa'ir La'azazel. So Sa'ir represents Klipa, Sa'ir represents Sitra Achra, as the Navi Yeshaya describes there. Hainu Klipos. So Ve'es HaSa'ir, when you're dealing with the Se'ir, when you're dealing with the Zahar, when you're dealing with the Klipa, the Sitra Achra, Darosh Darash. Keep questioning. Keep challenging. Keep breaking it down. The Yetzirah sometimes takes us for a fool. Right? The Pasuk says in Koheles that the Yetzirah is a melech zakin uksil. He's a melech, he's a king, he's a zakin, he's elderly, he's been around a long time, and he's a ksil, and he's a fool. It doesn't mean that he's a fool, but as the Chavetz Chaim explained, and as many tzaddikim explained, he's a ksil, he tricks us. So sometimes we have to try to just run away from the Yetzirah. The way that Yosef, when he encountered Eshes Potiphar, he just ran out of there. He fled for his life. But sometimes you have to push back a little bit. You have to challenge. Ask a kasha on the Yetzirah. You say like this, hold on, let me ask back. Right? Even Moshe Rabbeinu challenged Aaron. He was angry. He was angry at the sons of Aaron. How can you do like this? Aaron says, wait a minute, I have a svar also. I also have a mahalach. So when the Yetzirah tries to present something, when the klipa presents something, darosh darash, break through. Analyze it. When we darshan Torah deeply, when we expound, when we explore, right, then darosh darash, what does the pasuk say? Moshe. Now, what is Moshe? What is Moshe as a concept? Moshe is always the concept, the sitra kedusha of das, of clarity, of deep understanding, of connection, right, of working through the sugya, not where it's a rough idea, but where I have a das, where I have a deep clarity of this is the halacha. Like the Arizal is describing, through the halachic process of questioning and answering, a person comes to clarity. So then, when a person does that, when he encounters the Seir, when he encounters the world of Esav, of Klipa, of the Sar, Lazazel, etc., Darosh Darash, learn deep, learn the Sugya deep, and you'll have a clarity, you'll have a Das, Vihine Soraf. And then, what? Shal Yedei Zen, Nisrafin Vinevatlin, Kol HaSeirim VaKlipos. Then all of the klipa will be consumed. It'll be burnt up, right? Like we just finished the Yom Tov of Pesach, where ideally, says Rabbi Yehuda, the only way to destroy chametz is through sreifa, is through burning. That's the best way to remove the klipa, to destroy the Yetzirah. But again, the saraf, we're saying, comes about through the darosh darash. Now, let's go a step further. Okay, we're going to learn several pshatim and how to defeat the Yetzirah today. That's our how to defeat the klipa. Od yirmazal derach di sabazar kadosh on the pasuk. The Zohar comments on the pasuk that we read over Pesach and Shir HaShirim. Al tiruni shani shachar chayres. Do not look down upon me because I am blackened, because my skin is dark. Traditionally, a person who had a lighter skin, a lighter complexion, was indicative of a person who was able to stay indoors. That I don't have to be a person who's working in the fields out in the hot sun all day. Right? So a person whose skin was darkened meant the person who was poor. Obviously, we're referring metaphorically in Shir HaShirim to a person who's spiritually poor, a person who's darkened from sin. Okay, so don't look down upon me, don't see me negatively because I am darkened from my averos. Okay, says the Zohar HaKadosh on this pasuk, very deep idea. Kad az iras garma, azayhu rak v'chinas nekuda chada. Right, everything starts from a small point. I mean, it's true about, you know, it's true about a drop of seed, which will form a child. It's true about a drop of ink that will form a letter in writing a word, right? There's it starts from an apple seed, which grows into an apple tree and produces future apples. So everything starts from ze'ir. Ze'ir means something that's small, right? There's a small starting point of everything. Ach yeshudarshin osa, but when I expand it, when I look more deeply, I look at an apple seed and I say, well, what's in this apple seed? We have a cute kid's book. It's a very sweet book. Someone wrote a book. This kid is, you know, sitting on a bench. He's riding his bike. And he sits down to eat an apple that his mommy packed him for a snack. And all of a sudden, his Rebbe from Yeshiva walks up and he says, oh, you're eating an apple. Let me tell you about an apple. Because my Rebbe taught me about the apple. And he said, my Rebbe was Rabbi Avigdor Miller. So anyone who knows, Rabbi Avigdor Miller used to speak often about the wonders of creation. He was so nispal from everything. So he said, my Rebbe used to describe what an apple seed was, the potency of an apple seed, right? We eat the apple and we throw it away with the seeds inside. But you know how much power is in one of those seeds? what can be accomplished, how much information is encoded in that one seed. It's mamish nisim v'neflos to think about, to contemplate the wonders of a single apple seed. And he shares this lesson with this kid, and he says, you know, you have to realize there's wondrous things around us if we just open our eyes. It's a very sweet little book, little kid's book. I read it with Yaakov of Riantif. So everything starts from a little nekuda that has this awesome potential to be expounded and to be expanded. So when we take that nekuda and we're darshan it, right? We take the letter Beis of Bereishis, and we see it through the lens of the, you know, we catch a glimpse in the writings of the Vilna Gaon, what's found in the Beis of Bereishis. Or as it says already in Deeper Svarim, that even the dot within the Bereishis, which is not even written in the Torah, contains all of creation. Azai hei misparshim ad ein tachlitz. It's endless. When you're dealing with something in Hashem's world, it's reflecting the ein sofius of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Which means just like Hashem is endless, you look at this thing, it looks like a small thing. Yeah, after all of the tzimtzumim that it's gone through to present itself as a little apple seed that you throw in the garbage when you're done eating your apple, you don't even notice that inside that core is mamish a nuclear reactor. It's got all this power, all this energy. You could solve world, if we properly use the single apple seed, we could solve world hunger. It's an unbelievable thing to think about. Maybe it's not a simple thing to do, but it has enough potency in there to feed the whole world.
Okay,
so now, this is a nice drasha. Says our Rebbe, the Degel Machin Ephraim, the Seir HaChatas is Merames to Torah Shebal Peh. Why? Which is why, again, Moshe didn't understand it and Aaron understood it better, because Aaron is Torah Shebal Peh. How is the Seir HaChatas Torah Shebal Peh? Because we know that there's a Seir that's brought on Rosh Chodesh as a Kapara. A Kapara for who? A Kapara for Hashem. It's a strange Kapara. Seir La Hashem. A Seir that's brought on behalf of Hashem. Hashem says, the Gemara in Chulin says, bring a kapara for me because I made the moon small. We know the sugya, the moon complained. How could there be two luminaries with one crown? Hashem made the moon small and gave him the stars, right? But the moon represents Klal Yisrael. The moon represents, so to speak, the smaller of the two luminaries. If the sun, kiviyachol, is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the moon is Klal Yisrael. If the sun is Torah Shebichsav, Hashem's writings, then our contribution, Abaye, Rava, Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, is Torah Sheba'al Peh. So Sa'ir always merames on a certain level to Torah Sheba'al Peh. So now, when a person, as Sa'ir HaChatas, when a person engages in the world of Torah Sheba'al Peh, what does that mean? V'hainu kad az iris garma v'nichnas l'bechinas nakuda. When one enters into that little dot, again, you take, it could be a little dot, it could be a small pasuk in Chumash, right? Chavetz Chaim emphasized, we've mentioned in the past, Chavetz Chaim emphasized that the Torah talks about Shabbos on 12 different occasions. But how much does the Torah talk about the 39 malachos? It doesn't. You have to figure it out. You have to work through the sugya, right? Shabbos, daf, ayin, gimel. You got to figure out the different allusions to the 39 malachos. And you learn the Mishnah, let's say, in Maseches Chagiga. The Mishnah says that Shabbos is a mountain that's hanging by a thread, right? It's hanging by maybe 12 different threads, says the Chavetz Chaim, right? But there's still so much more to extract from those seeds of the Torah to pull out all Maseches Shabbos. So therefore, a Seir HaChatas, the world of Torah Shebaal Peh, when you enter into the Nekuda, you take a single word, a single phrase, a single pasuk, and you darshan it. The Rosh Darash. You use the principles by which we darshan the Torah. Hainu kitshu darshan osa. Moshe. What is Moshe? Hainu behispashtus hadas b'chiras Moshe. Right? When you connect deeply to it, when you take it from its superficial expression and you bring out a whole world of Hilchos Shabbos from a couple of words in the Torah. Azai v'hine sorav. So then you realize that, wow, within this one letter of Torah, is Soraf. Now, what is Soraf? The Svarim HaKadoshim tell us, he's not the first to say this, and he's certainly not the last, that Soraf is Rashi Tevos Shishim Ribo Perushim. Right? 600,000 interpretations. The way that it's explained is when we talk about Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelek Liolam Haba, what that means is, and Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelek B'Torah, we talk about our Chelek in Torah, every one of us has our own understanding of Torah from beginning to end. That means the Beis of Bereishis could be understood, right, for Yehuda and for Yosef and for Yoni and for David and for Daniel and for Noam and for Nani and for Shoval and for Velvel and for Dov. Every one of us has our own mamish, our own commentary on the Torah from beginning to end. Shishim Ribe Purushim, 600,000 essential Jewish souls, 600,000 interpretations of every letter of Torah. Ki ayud shehunakuda higolam. Because the letter Yud, as explained again in the Ramak and other Svarim HaKadoshim, starts off as it's a dot, it's a point, it's a golem. It has no expression. You take your pen and you touch it to the paper, as we've said in the past, and you lift it up. That little dot, what letter did you just make? Maybe a Yud? But that's the starting point of everything. It's that drop, right? It's that Yud of Yudke Vavke. It's that starting point that expands endlessly. So that's the world of Torah Shu'al Peh. The world of deepening and understanding of things. V'chol ha'osios nasa mimena. And from that little drop of ink, from that yud, that tiny little dot, everything emerges. From the apple seed emerges a world of apples. From a drop of seed, a child is born. Nimtza kol hashishim riboy perushim nasa mimena, v'akol nichlal ba'anakuda, v'hamaskil yavin. So again, another pshat in our pasuk, we're saying, Asi'ir achatos, the world of Torah Sheval Peh, allows us to what? To be darosh darash, to the point that we have a Moshe-like understanding. I know we're a little bit contradicting because we said Moshe is Torah Shebechsav, but till we have a deep and clear understanding, v'hinei soraf is the shishe rube perushim that emerge from that little dot with which we started. Okay, let's go a little bit further. Od Yirmas. Good morning, Mommy. Od Yirmas. Ki adua ein yisurim below avon. The Gemara in Shabbos says, there is no suffering without sin. If you're going through a hard time, a person has to make a cheshvan nefesh. What did I do to deserve this? Ki min ha-mitzvah nivra malach meil. It's because every time we do a mitzvah, a malach is created. V'chein chas v'shalom min ha-veira nivra naklipos. And like we know, as Yehuda knows, he likes to quote for us the Mishnah in the fourth parak of Avos. Right? You do a mitzvah, you get a malach to defend you. You do an aveira, you get a bad malach to prosecute you. V'heim ha-miyashr mesaldam. And it's not that your aveira, as external to you, causes you to be punished. The aveira itself is the punishment. I've been learning a lot of Rav Kook over Pesach. Rav Kook writes in the Midos Hara'ayah, beautiful sefer. I hardly ever learned it before. Midos Hara'ayah is a collection of midos. It talks about ava and amuna and gaiva and tikkun and all sorts of amazing midos. Midos Haraya, it's called, from Rav Kook, Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kook. So he writes in the entry for Gaiva, he says the Baal Gaiva's punishment is his Gaiva himself. Right? Because Gaiva is so self-destructive, for one who understands what Gaiva is, that he doesn't need to be punished. The fact that he's living in this demyonish world of Gaiva is itself the biggest punishment in the world. So when we talk, how a mitzvah comes to defend the person. Yeah, the pleasure mitzvah, is, right? Schar mitzvah mitzvah. Schar aveira aveira. In other words, the aveira itself becomes the thing that afflicts you. As the pasuk says, tiasrech ra'aseich. We quoted this pasuk once, right? That your evil, your negativity is your yesurim, is your jail, is your punishment. U'maitakante, so how do you fix it? Chavra. Yifashresh v'maisav. Al-mashachota. The way that you fix it, of course, is by making a cheshbon nefesh. What did I do wrong? Why did I do wrong? How can I do better in the future? V'yachzer b'tshuva. V'azai nishbarin v'nivtolin kol haklipos kishabal lechal das. And then you say, you know what? I realize, not just a superficial understanding, oh, I did the wrong thing. But I come to a deep and mature understanding of how I did this wrong thing. Why I did this wrong thing. I have a das, a deep understanding. Hippuch mishas achid. The opposite of the moment that I sinned. Because when I sinned, ein adam over avera elam ki nichlas bo ruach shtus. Right? Sin is a person whose mind is totally the opposite of das. He's living in a world of shtuyot. Yosef, the name of the sefer is Midos Haraya. Midos Haraya. Thank you, David. Midos Haraya. Yeah, the Midos of Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kook. It's a gavaldic sefer. It's a beautiful sefer. What he writes about Ava, talks about an amuna. Such beautiful yesodos and amuna and Ava. What it means to love everything. I mean, it's mamish, Rav Kook Lishitas, it's beautiful stuff. I'll share some, hopefully, in what maybe we'll do a Sfiras HaOmer share. There's a couple pieces that I think really capture the essence of Sfiras HaOmer. Minestalik hadas mimenu. So when a person, again, is a ruach shtus, it's the opposite of das. They've lost all thinking. They're making stupid choices and bad decisions. Uveshuva mechatasu vali dehachzaras hadas. But when a person gets their mind back, memela, getting control of your mind itself is defeating the klipa. Az betelin mimenu kol haklipos. So that's what our pasuk is saying. The pasuk says, "Ve'esiir hainu klipos kinizkar la'el." When a person wants to break through the klipa that he has created, hachatas shenivrau v'nasu menachatas shal adam chas v'shalom. When your averos have created this strong and intense klipa, so the way to fight back is what? Cheshbon ha'nefesh, thinking, darosh darash, analyze your avera, understand how did it come to be. Hainu kishedorish v'choker u'mefashesh v'maisav. When I analyze the avera and I make kabbalas not to do it again, and I create a better situation for myself so that I shouldn't come to do it again, that is the two drushim. That is the darosh darash. And then Moshe. Hainu akol hu b'achzaras v'zgalas hadas. I get back to a state of Moshe, of clear thinking, of being in control, of being a leader, of being able to direct and to guide like Moshe Rabbeinu. And then v'hine soraf, and then again nisrafin v'nivtalin haklipos. Then the klipos can be destroyed. So again, asa'ir hachatas. When I fall into that world of klipa through chait darosh darash, start thinking, think deeply, be like Moshe, and then saraf, that will destroy. Again, ein birchom, it's el seifa. That's how you destroy the Yitzhara. Okay, chaver, let's do two more. We'll do two more. It's never too early to prepare for Lag BaOmer and remind ourselves of the chashivas of the Heilige Zohar Kaddosh. The Zohar Kaddosh says about the Zohar, "B'sifra da Sefer HaZohar, with this book that we call the Zohar, Yifkun Yisrael min Galusa, the Jewish people will go free from Galus." U'kamosha kasafti b'parshas b'shalach. If you remember back in Parshas b'shalach, B'nei Yisrael yoytzim b'yad Ramah, right? They go out with the Zohar. Remez mizel targum b'nei Yisrael nafkin b'reish galay, that we're going to go out b'reish. Who's reish? B'reish, Rabbi, Shimon, Bar, Yochai, right? And Yisrael Baal Shem. You remember back in Parshat B'shalach, the very famous Torahs from the Degel Malchaya farm. I think so. V'isa, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, u'b'chinas Moshe. We know that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is the Moshe Rabbeinu of his time. There's a lot of connections between the two of them. And we know the Gemara tells us that in every generation, right, there are those who represent Moshe. That's why the Gemara in Chulin and Sukkah, people are called Moshe. Moshe, you said good. What do you mean Moshe? My name is not Moshe. My name is Reish Lakish. My name is Rabbi Yochanan. Right, but the tzaddikim and the Gemara called each other Moshe sometimes because that meant you had achieved the Gadol Hador status. So Reisho Bar Yochai was certainly, besides all the other connections, was certainly the Moshe Rabbeinu of his times. V'zeo darosh darash Moshe. So through the deep teachings of Moshe, which is also Rashbi, haynu kishiyas gala v'yidarish masha darash kvar Moshe, when what Moshe Rabbeinu knew, but Moshe knew as a secret, would be revealed to the world through Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, being given Rishus on the day of his passing to reveal secrets to the world. Haynu Rishon Bar Yochai through the Sefer HaZohar v'hine soraf. Hainu shiavutlu kol haklipos, that through the gilei of the Zohar, there's no bigger weapon that we have against shtus, against stupidity, against thinking that that this world is hefker. When we see the secrets of Torah being revealed, we see the Yad Hashem so clearly, and it negates all of the klipos. Umemela yiyeh geula shleim b'mher b'yameinu amein netzach sela va'ed. Okay? So through the shchus of the Zohar, right, we're zocha to deeper understandings. We're begala the secrets that Moshe Rabbeinu already knew from Har Sinai, and that brings us closer and closer to Geula. Okay, chaver, one last piece for today. We'll do one more. Yeah, we'll do one more. Last one. Od yirma zaderach sheshamati min harav hakadosh hachasid hamenoach avbeistin kihilas kodesh polnoa olav shalom. He says, I'll say one more Torah. What I heard from the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, and he writes it in Parshas Yisro. Kol Talmud Chacham she'enu noikim v'noiter k'nachash eno Talmud Chacham. The Gemara says that a Talmud Chacham who is not noikem benoter, nekama, netira. What does that mean? That means revenge. Right? That means to bear a grudge. A Talmud Chacham who's not vengeful like a snake is not a Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham has to have a backbone, has to be strong, has to be able to sometimes, you know, fight back. And the snake is, I guess, the you know, the one who's always willing to counter the other opinion, even a Kadosh Baruch Hu, as we saw in Gan Eden, Rahman al-Tzad. So a Talmud Chacham has to be able to be has to be able to bite like a snake, has to be vengeful like a snake. What does that mean? The Holy told us, Yaakov Yosef explained, Shitzarech shielo beiz bechinos lahachayos ulahamis. We think of a snake as a very, very negative thing. Rightfully so. But the snake also, actually, in the Torah, plays a very, very important role. Right? The role of the snake is, of course, bringing Misa to the world in the form of tricking Adam and Chava, but the snake also brought life to the world in the form of what? In the form of the Nachash in Parshas Chukas, right? The Nachash HaNachoshes, you stare at it, and it heals a person who's been harmed by an actual Nachash. So a Nachash, on the one hand, is Lahamis, but on the other hand, it's Lahachios. It has the ability to bring life. Kamo HaNachash Shehayu Lo Beis Bechinos, V'hibit El Nachash Nachash HaNachoshes V'chai. You could stare at the Nachash HaNachoshes, and you could be given life. V'chein Hayameim is Gamkin, and obviously a Nachash could take life. So explains the told us Yaakov Yosef. So a Talmud Chacham has to have these two aspects. A Talmud Chacham has to be able to give life, but a Talmud Chacham also sometimes has to punish, has to take life. What does that mean? So I want to explain a little further. Says our Rabbi, Tam l'zeshetorach Talmud Chacham she'elo shnei bechinos elu. Why does a Talmud Chacham have to have these two qualities of taking life and giving life? Right, you have stories in the Gemara where a Talmud Chacham sometimes, who was insulted or who was challenged, with a glance, with a single look at a person, turned them into a pile of bones, the Gemara says. Right, Talmud Chacham has, the Mishnah warns us in Pirkei Avos, be very careful with the fire of Talmid Chacham. It's an Eish HaOcheles, it consumes like Hashem himself. But says the Degel Ma'achad Ephraim, that's exactly the answer. Why is it that a Talmud Chacham has, Memela, if he's a true Talmud Chacham, he has these two aspects? Because he's like Hashem, and he's like Torah. Well, if he anias daiti, who machmas shekol Talmud Chacham who davak l'Torah, a true Talmud Chacham clings to Torah, obviously. Uva Torah gam kein yesh beiz b'chinos elu. The Torah itself has this awesome ability to grant life, and Rachman al-Etzlan, to take life. Because the Torah is, as the Gemara says in Yomo, we've emphasized it so many times, the Torah, we know, the Gemara says in Yoma, is Zocha Nasa Lo Sam Chaim. If used properly, Torah is the ultimate elixir of life. It grants life. Lo Zocha, if you don't use it right, then God forbid, it causes Misa. Torah could be a weapon, not only towards others, if I misuse my knowledge of Torah, but it certainly could be self-destructive. So therefore, a Talmud Chacham Meila has within him, through the Koach HaTorah, the potency, again, the potential, the power, to give life, or God forbid, to take life. A Talmud Chacham harnesses that poisonous aspect of Torah and can use it against negativity, hopefully. When I study Torah deeply, right, when I analyze the Torah deeply and I understand the essence of Torah, I understand that Torah is not always good or not always bad. Torah is a double-edged sword, depending how I use it. Right? There's Torah lishma, there's Torah lo lishma. There's Torah lishma, there's Torah lo lishma that's justified, there's Torah lo lishma that's destructive. Vihine soraf, he understands that what? That Torah is what? Is hot stuff. It's soraf. Hainu sheyesh lo shnei bechinos, shel ha-soraf v'ha-nachash. It has the dual aspect of snakes, right? The Nachash and the Saraf. And if you look carefully, what he's hinting to, if you look over there in Parshas Chukas, when it talks about the Nachash and Nachoshes, you see it goes back and forth using the term Saraf, right? It describes a snake, a poisonous snake called a Saraf, and uses the word Nachash. In other words, there's two aspects to the snake. There's a snake that consumes, that burns, that destroys. There's a snake that grants life. Again, to stare at the Nachash and Nachoshes, V'chai. So a Talmud Chacham, because of his connection to Torah, a person who's like a Moshe, Darosh Darash, when he studies Torah deeply, so then he has this dual aspect of Torah. And again, that's what we need to think about as we come to the these days of Sfiras Haomer, preparing for Kabbalah Satorah, deepening our connection to Torah. It's not a given that the more you learn, the better you become. You can learn Torah in a way that's very, very dangerous and very, very self-destructive. But there's, of course, a way to learn Torah that allows a person to move forward in a beautiful way. So we should be zeicha to learn Torah. It should give us life. It should help us to defeat the klipa, to overcome all of the Yetzihara. We should study Torah deeply, be worthy on Lag BaOmer of entering into the world of Torah Surishum Bar Yochai, and then Amir Tzashem. For those times that we've made mistakes, we'll make us moving all of the viruses of the world, the spiritual and physical viruses, and be zeicha to the Gula Shleim B'mehera B'Yameinu Amen. Good Shabbos to my dear friends. Thank you for learning with me.